that we heal by discussing our problems until something inside us breaks open and magically we are whole. However, after working with my first clients, I realized that while naming the problem helps us begin to outline a roadmap toward healing, it does not do the work of healing for us. Many of us are very good at describing our problems, but often this leads us to feel stuck and powerless. Talking about solutions and positive options is more effective than continually talking about what's wrong. It was with this understanding that I wrote this book. The first two chapters discuss the history of codependency, its symptoms, and the factors that contribute to its development. And the rest of the book details your pathway out. While you read this book, you may find yourself feeling angry about situations, family dynamics, or cultural narratives in your life that contributed to your belief that you must stay small and quiet, which may have led to the development of your codependency. It is very important to allow yourself to feel this anger, but then to remember that you have options now. Entering recovery is about claiming your personal sense of power in this world, as you truly are capable of changing your life, your relationship with yourself, and even many of the relationships with others in your life. I know taking the first steps can be intimidating, like walking into a dark forest. However, we are walking this path together, and I will hold the flashlight for us. I have learned both personally and with numerous clients that these steps truly lead to interdependency. I'm so grateful you have accepted me as a companion on this part of your healing journey. Thank you. I deeply believe in you. Part 1. Codependency, an Education. Chapter 1. I Need You to Need Me. Rose is a 38-year-old nurse who has been in brief relationships but has never been able to find the one with whom she can settle down and finally start the family of her dreams. Whenever she has a boyfriend, she spends her time thinking about all the ways she can make his life easier. For example, even though she often works 12-hour shifts, she spends all her free time cooking extra meals and bringing them over to his house. This meal preparation is time-consuming. She will even go without exercise or seeing friends to keep up. She likes to imagine that her boyfriend will come home after a long day and be nourished by her food, all the while thinking how lucky he is to have found Rose. When her last boyfriend ended things after 6 months, he told her, "You care too much about others." Rose was dumbfounded. How could her endless supply of nurturance be a negative thing? What is codependency? So, is this codependency? I often hear this question from clients in therapy, and it highlights how difficult codependency is to define. However, there is something about the concept that resonates with people. Adding to the confusion around just what exactly codependency means is the fact that it is not included in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, a tool mental health professionals use to understand the diagnosis of psychiatric disorders and their symptoms. Therefore, there remains no definitive explanation of codependency. It is important to note that while there is public debate around the value of diagnosis in the first place, I do think it's important to be able to label the distressing symptoms that are part of codependency. In their book, The Whole Brain Child, Dan J. Siegel and Tina Payne Bryson discuss the power of retelling events children found distressing to help them integrate the memory so it's less painful, a process they call name it to tame it. The same strategy is effective for codependency. If we can label a painful process or cycle we feel stuck in, we can see the pathway out of it more clearly. A brief history. Initially, the symptoms we now include in codependency were identified within the 12-step community circa 1939, about 4 years after Alcoholics Anonymous was founded, when people began meeting to find